Welcome to the Nowracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, bringing you the latest developments across AI, energy infrastructure, and the cutting edge of tech.
And I'm here as well. Today, we have a really fascinating contrast in our top stories. On one hand, we're looking at artificial intelligence fundamentally altering the landscape of theoretical mathematics.
Right. We have some staggering new claims from OpenAI regarding their upcoming Astra model and its ability to solve decade-old math problems.
But on the other hand, we are looking at the very physical, very grounded reality of upgrading our power grid and how local politics in New York State are throwing a massive wrench into renewable energy goals.
It's the classic divide between software moving at light speed and hardware infrastructure grinding to a halt at the local zoning board. Let's get right into it. Let's start with an announcement from OpenAI that feels like a genuine paradigm shift for the scientific community. They just revealed that an internal version of their next major model, which they are calling Astra, has successfully solved 10 long-standing open problems in mathematics and theoretical computer science.
And to be clear, we are not talking about high school calculus or standard undergraduate proofs. These are highly complex, historically stubborn theoretical problems. OpenAI specifically highlighted the construction of the first non-Sophic group, a definitive disproof of Kahn's rigidity conjecture, and the resolution of three separate Erdos problems.
The Erdos problems alone are legendary. For an AI to tackle one is a massive milestone. To hit three of them in a single announcement is staggering. But what makes this fundamentally different from past AI claims is the verification method. They didn't just have the model spit out a natural language proof that looks convincing to a layman, but might contain a subtle logical hallucination.
Exactly. They formalized these proofs into lean certificates. For those who might not be familiar, lean is both a programming language and an interactive proof assistant. When you write a proof in Lean, the computer acts essentially as a strict compiler for logic. It mechanically verifies every single step of the mathematical argument. If there is a hallucinated leap in logic or a variable used incorrectly, the code simply will not compile.
Which changes the entire conversation around AI and mathematics. Historically, the biggest criticism of large language models in this space has been that they are fantastic at mimicking the structure and tone of a proof, but terrible at maintaining the rigorous step-by-step symbolic logic required to actually prove something novel. Lean bridges that gap completely.
It shifts the burden of trust away from the AI's opaque neural network and onto a transparent, machine-verifiable framework. If the Lean compiler says the proof is valid, the mathematical community can trust that it is logically sound, regardless of whether a human or a machine wrote it. It essentially solves the hallucination problem for theoretical math.
But there is a massive caveat here regarding how OpenAI presented this achievement, specifically around the cost and their methodology. OpenAI stated that the total inference cost for generating these 10 results was approximately $2,000, calculated at their sole API rates.
Right. And on its face, $2,000 for 10 historic mathematical breakthroughs sounds incredibly cheap. $200 a pop for an Erdos problem solution is the bargain of the century. But critics in the theoretical computer science community are immediately raising red flags about the transparency of that specific number.
The core question is, what does that $2,000 actually represent? Is that the cost of the final successful runs? Or does that include the entirety of the search process? Because if they used a massive automated search algorithm, say generating millions of potential proof steps, testing them in Lean, throwing out the failures, and iterating, the true compute cost would be astronomically higher.
If you run 10 million attempts and only report the API cost of the 10 trajectories that successfully compiled into a Lean certificate, that $2,000 figure is highly misleading. It's the difference between an AI that can reason its way to a solution efficiently versus a brute force search harness that just throws massive amounts of compute at the wall until the Lean compiler gives a green light.
And OpenAI has not detailed their experimental setup to clarify this. We don't know the ratio of failed attempts to successful ones. But I have to ask, even if it was a brute force search guided by heuristics, does that diminish the result? We still have the formalized proofs. The open problems are still solved.
It doesn't diminish the mathematical result at all. The math is done. but it heavily impacts how we evaluate Astra's actual reasoning capabilities as a standalone model. If it requires a massive, computationally expensive external harness to randomly walk its way to a proof, that's very different from an agent that can fluidly connect abstract concepts on the first few tries.
That brings up the human element. What does this mean for the field of mathematics? If an AI can systematically knock out problems that have stumped human geniuses for decades, does the role of the human mathematician change? Do they go from being problem solvers to merely problem formulators?
I think that's exactly where we're heading. Human intuition is going to be increasingly focused on identifying interesting questions, defining the parameters, and recognizing patterns that are worth investigating. The AI will then act as a super-powered calculator for the actual logical legwork to formalize those intuitions into rigorous proofs.
It is a profound shift for a discipline that has relied purely on human cognition for thousands of years, and it sets incredibly high expectations for Astra's eventual public release.
Moving from theoretical algorithms to the very physical reality of our power grid, we have a fascinating situation developing in New York State that perfectly illustrates the bottleneck in the renewable energy transition. The town of Newcomb, New York, recently adopted Local Law No. 1 of 2026 on July 14th.
And this law establishes a 12-month moratorium on all permits and applications for commercial and industrial battery energy storage systems, or BESS projects. But the real kicker here is that Newcomb doesn't even have a battery project on the table. Nobody has applied to build one in their jurisdiction.
Right. This is a purely preemptive strike by the town board. They are freezing any potential development for a full year before a developer even looks at their map. And Newcomb is not an isolated incident. Right now, New York leads the entire United States in these types of battery storage moratoriums.
The numbers are actually pretty shocking. As of mid-2026, there are approximately 86 to 98 active municipal restrictions across New York State. To put that in perspective, New York State has a very aggressive statutory goal of deploying 6 gigawatts of energy storage by 2030. But these local, town-by-town moratoriums have already stalled over 1 gigawatt of planned capacity.
It's a massive collision between state-level climate mandates and local land use control. And to be fair to these towns, they aren't just being difficult for the sake of it. They are citing very specific, very legitimate concerns, primarily around fire safety and a lack of emergency response training.
Exactly. When a grid-scale lithium-ion battery system catches fire, it goes into thermal runaway. It's not a normal fire you can just spray with a standard hose. It requires massive amounts of water, specialized suppressants, and highly specific training to manage safely. Small, rural volunteer fire departments in places like Newcomb simply do not have the equipment or the training to handle that kind of industrial incident.
And the towns are arguing that there is a glaring absence of clear state-level zoning or safety guidelines for these facilities. So from the perspective of a local town board, hitting the pause button for 12 months to figure out the safety regulations makes total sense. Why risk a catastrophic fire in your community when the state hasn't given you a playbook?
But from the perspective of a developer, this is a nightmare. How do you manage the financial risk of what the industry calls zoning uncertainty? You could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars scouting a location, securing land rights, and doing environmental studies, only for the town to instantly pass a moratorium the second they catch wind of your project.
It makes financing these projects incredibly difficult. Capital hates uncertainty. If over a gigawatt of capacity is stuck in limbo because of local politics, developers are going to start looking at other states that have more streamlined, centralized permitting processes.
This raises a really tough policy question. Is there a fundamental failure in how the state is communicating safety standards to these local fire departments? It seems like New York wants the infrastructure, but they are leaving the local municipalities to figure out the risk management on their own.
I think the state is eventually going to have to step in and either mandate a standardized set of safety and zoning rules that local towns have to follow, or provide massive state funding to train and equip these local fire departments. Because you cannot hit 6 gigawatts of storage by 2030 if nearly 100 different towns have locked their gates.
It's the ultimate test of the energy transition.
We have the technology, and we have the high-level policy goals, but the actual deployment is bottlenecked by hyper-local zoning board meetings. It's a space we'll have to watch closely, especially as that 2030 deadline gets closer.
All right, those were our deep dives for today. Let's hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. We've got more battery news, a massive AI hardware investment, and an open source release from Y Combinator to cover.
Speaking of grid storage, a company called Peak Energy is building a 183,000 square foot gigafactory in Sacramento's Metro Air Park. It's a $71 million investment designed to produce 4 gigawatt hours of battery systems annually by 2027, creating about 350 jobs.
But the notable detail here is the chemistry. They are focusing entirely on sodium ion batteries, not lithium ion. Because grid batteries don't need to be lightweight like EV batteries, sodium is becoming highly attractive. It's cheaper, uses abundant materials, and is much safer and more stable in extreme temperatures.
The one catch regarding this being a win for domestic manufacturing is that this facility is essentially an assembly plant. They aren't manufacturing the battery cells themselves. Those are still currently being sourced from China, though Peak Energy does plan to support domestic production eventually through a partnership with General Motors.
Still, decoupling grid storage from the highly constrained lithium supply chain is a huge step forward for energy resilience. Over in South Korea, SK Hynix is making a monumental bet on the continued boom in AI hardware. They are investing 20 trillion won, which is about 14.6 billion US dollars, to build a new semiconductor packaging plant in Cheongju.
The facility is known as M15X, and they expect to begin mass production there by November 2025. The focus is entirely on high bandwidth memory, or HBM chips, which are the critical bottleneck components for AI processors.
SK Hynix is currently the dominant supplier of HBM3 and HBM3E chips to NVIDIA. This $14 billion capital expenditure shows they are aggressively trying to defend that exclusive supplier status against competitors like Samsung and Micron.
It also highlights the supply chain concentration risk. A massive percentage of the memory required to run the world's frontier AI models is now highly centralized in South Korean manufacturing. In software news, Y Combinator has just open-sourced a project called QM, which they describe as a multiplayer agent harness for work. It's built on a Node.js and Postgres architecture and is completely vendor-agnostic, supporting models from Claude Code to Codex.
An agent harness is the infrastructure that manages memory and tool access for an AI model. What makes QM notable is the multiplayer focus. It integrates directly with Slack, allowing teams to collaborate and share channels alongside AI agents that have granular, scoped permissions.
They've built in 3 distinct security postures, including a strict mode that requires human approval for every single tool call the AI makes. It's a clear signal that the industry is trying to move AI from single-player chat interfaces into governed, operational team environments.
It also features a strict anti-slop design philosophy, even banning certain stylistic quirks like M-dashes to keep the AI outputs professional and concise. Finally, a slightly different pace to close us out. David Kane published a piece on his blog, Raptitude, titled How to Exist. It explores our modern biological inability to simply sit still and be present without seeking a distraction.
He proposes a very simple mindfulness experiment. Sit for 3 minutes and follow 2 rules. First, don't do anything. No fidgeting, no indulging wandering thoughts. Second, be content, meaning accept the present moment exactly as it is, without trying to change it.
Kane notes that most people find this incredibly uncomfortable, so he suggests using the breath as a measuring stick and trying to hold that state of pure existence for just 5 to 10 seconds at a time to avoid feeling overwhelmed.
It's a stark contrast to the hyper-optimized, constantly connected tech world we usually cover. A good reminder that sometimes the hardest task you can assign your brain is just doing nothing. And that is going to wrap it up for today's briefing. As always, we appreciate you taking the time to tune in and get caught up on the latest tech movements.
We publish the show every single day. So whether you're commuting, working out, or just trying to exist for 3 minutes, we'll be right back here in your feed tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the NoraCast Tech Briefing. We'll see you next time.